back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Denise Stoner, Kathleen Martin. The book is called The Alien Abduction Files with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Denise, the experience involving your husband, tell us more.
Well, we both lived for almost 20 years in Colorado, just outside Denver in a town called Arvada. And we also had an older mobile home up on a ranch in a town called Buena Vista. And so did my parents, and they lived in Colorado Springs. It didn't take them as long to get there as it did us. So we would leave on a Friday as early as we could possibly get off work to get there and spend a 2 to a 3 day weekend up there, way out in the middle of nowhere with no phones, and it was on the Arkansas River, catch fresh trout for breakfast and just really enjoy ourselves. So this one day in August 1982, we were packing the car at 5 a.m. We were to meet my parents up there. My mom was cooking dinner to have it ready by around 8 o'clock for us, and we were always, always on time so my parents wouldn't worry. So we left town, had a little bit of traffic at first. Once we got up to an area called Kenosha Pass, it was a mountain pass. We were looking down from the top of that pass over a glacier valley, and sitting up on top of the pass, we got out of the car, stretched for about 5 minutes, went on down to the bottom through a little town called Jefferson. Everything was lit up by sunlight, so it was daylight. And I was watching two lights off in the distance in the high desert valley, and they kept getting closer and closer to us. As we passed through the town of Jefferson, I saw the lights come over the top of the car, looked at my husband, and we'd been talking. He was no longer responding. I felt the tires scraping on the side of the road, and my husband did recall this too. He had set the odometer because we were concerned about gas mileage to make sure that this newer car was operating properly. And the car went up over some snow barriers, wooden snow barriers, off into the desert. I felt it coming to a stop and coming down to the floor of the desert. And the next thing I realized, we were all the way across that desert valley, and we had landed on Trout Creek Pass, and it was pitch dark, and the headlights were turned on. We had not turned them on, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and we would have arrived in Buena Vista at 8 o'clock approximately.
Wow, interesting. You know, I did about 13 years of investigation in the San Luis Valley just south of there. And also some cases from South Park, which is the area that you're referring to.
Yes.
Very interesting cases around Kenosha Pass, Jefferson, down into Fairplay, and then over to the east, over by the reservoirs between Pikes Peak and South Park. That's a very interesting area.
Isn't it?
A number of cattle mutilation cases were reported there in the early 90s. That is a hotbed of activity there. Did you ever contact any of the county officials there in Park County, or did you ever do any sort of follow-up in the area there to maybe ascertain the level of activity that was going on there?
I was not really investigating at the time. All we did was panic. I was afraid. My husband was afraid, disoriented, very fearful. We looked at the odometer. It had not changed or moved from the time we were at the top of Kenosha to the top of Trout Creek Pass. Had not moved. We decided we'd better get going.
That's a good 30 miles.
Oh, 40, gosh, yes.
40 miles.
Yeah.
So we moved on into Buena Vista, which is about 7 to 9 miles further off of Trout Creek. Our odometer began to work just fine. The headlights were on. We didn't turn them on. And we moved on. Our daughter was asleep in the back seat. A little dog was sound asleep. Moved in. And as we approached the ranch property, my parents and family friend had walked from their mobile home down to the ranch house. They were going to wake up the caretaker and ask to use the phone, the only phone there, to call hospital, police, and look for us. My dad was going to get in the car and drive the route to try and find us. Just as we pulled in, and of course they said, "Where have you been?" And we just looked at them and said, "We don't know. We have no idea." My dad could tell that we're really kind of shaken up, and he worked in aerospace himself. So didn't our family friend. So they really, after a few minutes, let it go. My mom never would. She would keep at it until I gave her an answer. That's just the way
like
my mom was.
What to do.
Yeah, had to know. Wanted to know what I'd been up to. There had to be an answer. So there never was until I began to have some odd dreams, flashes of memory of something that had been done to me physically, odd faces, and started to think about the fact that perhaps we had been abducted.
Now, when you were abducted, undergoing this experience, the beings you saw, these were grays?
Yes.
Okay. Did they perform any physical experiments on you?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you ever encounter any evidence of some sort of implant?
Oh, yes, several times. Matter of fact, up to fairly recently when Kathleen helped me to track one that was in my elbow, and it traveled down my arm and down into my hand and then disappeared.
Disappeared. In other words, this was nothing that could be, as they say, removed.
No, because it was gone before we could do anything about it.
You are aware of the research of Dr. Roger Lear, who's reportedly
oh, yes.
recovered this stuff.
Oh, yes.
Have you been in touch with him at all about any of the experiences that you have investigated?
I have not. Not as far as, well, not as far as myself, and I have not had anyone that was willing to step forward and talk to him. If we had caught this one and it didn't look like it was going to go anywhere, I wouldn't have minded talking to him. But Kathleen and I were tracking this in my arm, and it just disappeared, and it moved during a period of 5 to 6 days.
And I'm confused. How did you know it was there in the first place, and then how were you able to track it?
I felt it. It was just under the skin.
I could palpitate
it. Yeah.
Yes, it was about the size of a BB.
Okay, did you try an X-ray to see if you could see something?
No, I did not. It's kind of hard to ask someone to do an X-ray. I didn't know what my doctors would say, and that we just kept following it with our fingers, and there was really no reason for something to show up like that and keep moving down my arm to my hand like that. And no, I did not. I don't know what I would have been told.
Kathleen, have you ever done any studies of these implants?
Well, I've certainly read Roger Lear's books, listened to his lectures, spoken to him, and spoken to Steve Colburn. So I know the information that they've provided. And one of the experiencers that I work with, whose case I've been investigating over the past several years, did have an implant removed and sent it onto Daryl Sims to be evaluated at one point and never received information back about what had happened to it.
Did he follow up? Or she follow up?
Yes, but I guess Daryl doesn't put the names of people onto his files, and he must have hundreds of these from his statement. I attempted to follow up with him as well, and so he wasn't able to find it in his files because the person's identity had been hidden, apparently.
That doesn't make it easy.
No, and I have two implants also. I have them, and I collected them, and they're both from individuals that are retired Coast Guard, and I'm afraid to do anything like that with them because I promised these people I would not lose them and pass them from my hand to someone else's and back again the same way.
But how do you investigate them if you don't have them subjected to some sort of scientific analysis?
That's right. And it's very, very difficult to do. How do I find someone willing to do that, drop them in the mail and have them lost? And just like Kathleen just said, you never hear anything. As far as results, what do we do?
The dilemma, we'll go into more of this. What about alien implants? Where do you send them to? Dr. Lear, do you just fly it down? Maybe that's one way. Hand it to him or someone else personally. Our guests are Denise Stoner, Kathleen Martin. The book is The Alien Abduction Files, subtitled The Most Startling Cases of Human Alien Contact Ever Reported. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget.
A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
The 9th Annual Health Freedom Expo returns June 7th through June 9th at the Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois, featuring over 75 world-renowned doctors, activists, and experts. Meet Dr. Joel Wallach, author of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, actress and activist Daryl Hannah, famed Dr. Patch Adams, women's health expert Dr. Joan Borisenko, GMO activist Jeffrey Smith, and renowned natural health doctor Dr. Joseph Mercola. Sample delicious, healthy foods, watch award-winning documentaries, attend exciting panel discussions, discover the latest natural health products, and be sure to check out the expo hall filled with 200 exhibitors. Don't forget about the new interactive pavilions and receive free screenings. It's all here under one roof for only $20 a day or $45 for the entire three-day weekend. It costs less than a doctor's visit, but hurry, tickets are going fast. For tickets and info, visit healthfreedomexpo.com or call 888-658-3972. The Health Freedom Expo, your one source for total natural health solutions.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Startling cases of human alien contact ever reported. Well, again, to that, we have Denise Stoner and Kathleen Martin with Gene and Chris. Kathleen. Among all the abduction cases that are in your book, if I said, Kathleen, give me a textbook case of alien abduction with the best evidence possible, what case would you cite?
That is, in my opinion, the case of Denise and Ed Stoner. Their 1982 abduction and missing time event in South Park in Colorado. While they were on vacation, they were witnesses. Their 14-year-old daughter was with them. Denise's family was waiting on the other end. They had dinner ready for them, and then they had this extraordinary event. They had a close encounter with a UFO, and as if only a moment had passed, they found themselves down the road, 40 miles, on the other side of South Park, on Trout Creek Pass. It had been daylight when they had the UFO sighting, and when they found themselves on Trout Creek Pass, it was 11 o'clock at night. They were missing 3 hours' time. They were startled. They were having some problems with this over the years. Denise originally went to a hypnotist in Denver, Colorado, and he worked with her. She came to me after we had met here in Florida and eventually told me confidentially that she was an experiencer. And I kept that information confidential for quite a period of time. She told me that she had not been able to retrieve any of the files that she had with this hypnotist who was now deceased and had very little memory about what had happened during the abduction itself. So I offered to assist her in facilitating her memory again about these events, and eventually also worked with her husband, Ed. And I wanted to just say that when I use hypnotic regression, I realize that I have to safeguard against the possibility that a hypnotized person might construct false memories where no real memories exist.
That's one of the key arguments that a skeptic will address or will talk about.
Absolutely.
They say, you know, they're just feeding them the information, they're not professionals, and they're causing people to remember things that really didn't happen. How do you take precautions? What kind of precautions can you take?
Okay. I prefer to use forensic hypnosis. Mm-hmm. It's widely used by police departments, which requires the use of carefully worded questions that discourage the construction of false information. Forensic hypnosis gained notoriety in 1976 when a California bus driver and 27 of his students on the bus were kidnapped and buried alive. The driver escaped and led the police back to the children, who were released to their parents. The bus driver then underwent forensic hypnosis and remembered the license plate number on the kidnapper's van. And this led to the arrest and successful prosecution of the criminals. So that's the kind of hypnosis that I use. I don't ask leading questions. In fact, I ask very few questions. Mostly what I do is only repeat what the experiencer has just stated as they're telling in detail everything that they can remember. And I always caution them not to fill in anything with anything that is not true in their own mind. So I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Let me just add a question here about that, though. Have there been surveys done of this kind of forensic hypnosis to see what percentage of accuracy is achieved in recalling these memories?
I'm not aware of surveys that have been done, but I can tell you that it was the only type of hypnosis that used to be permitted as evidence in a court of law.
And yes, and I can tell you what it causes a person to do, because I'm familiar with hypnosis also, and I am a certified hypnotist, and I took that course also that I'm certified in as far as forensic regression. What it causes a person to do is when she would say to me, "What do you see?" or "Where are you?" causes you in your mind to look around, and if you don't see anything there, you have nothing to say. But if you do see something, you can begin to describe it and talk about it. But she's given you no clues at all and no suggestions.
And let me state that I had both Ed and Denise as witnesses. I hypnotized them separately. I hypnotized Denise first, and she had amnesia for her statement, for the information that I wanted from Ed. And I'd like to just read to you, if I can, Ed's statement about what he recalled. He said, as he was driving, Denise was drawing his attention to a house under construction on the side of the road. At this is the instant that Denise states that she was actually pointing out lights rapidly approaching the car. Suddenly, he becomes disoriented and senses that his car has stopped, but he feels momentum and sees swirling dust-like particles surrounding his car as if he's in a vortex. He hears a high-pitched, pulsing whine and feels weightlessness as if he's detached from his body. He's paralyzed, and his head is full of random, spinning, analyzing thoughts. He finds himself in a new environment and sees a smooth, dull, reflective, domed ceiling overhead. This description is similar to Denise's description of the examining room on the craft. He is now only sensing a feeling of detachment and waiting for an extended period of time. He doesn't know where Denise and his daughter are. Finally, he hears a frequency and a tenor range, and that reminds him of loud tinnitus. There's a heavy pulsation, and he feels frightened and cold. His weight returns. He finds himself clinging to his steering wheel. It is suddenly dark outside, and he is freezing. His headlights are on, but he hasn't turned them on. He realizes that he is halfway up Trout Creek Pass. It is nearly 11 p.m., and Denise is, quote, freaking out, close quote. They stop for a few minutes to gather their thoughts and attempt to discern what has happened to them. Neither could explain it.
So that's from his statement.
And that is what he recovered under hypnosis. And he asked me specifically not to probe any deeper than if he was abducted. He did not want to know what had occurred.
Didn't want the nasty details.
That is correct. So that is as far as I probed with Ed.
Now, has he had any further experiences after this?
Yes, he did. There was another missing time event in 1991, and he was with Denise when that occurred.
We'll ask about that event in a moment. The book is called The Alien Abduction Files from Denise Stoner and Kathleen Martin. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Kathleen Harton and Denise Stoner. Denise, so you had this further experience, 1991, is it, with your husband?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Same sort of experience or what?
Very similar, except this time we're in Florida, and this was early morning, and we were actually going to go scuba diving in the caves in the Florida aquifer. So we had gotten up and had breakfast and packed our gear, and we were driving, and the way you find your way around North Florida to look for these sinkholes, we knew where we were going. We'd been there many times, and you just have to take a left at the farmer's fence or the farmer's barn or this field or that field, and that's how you find them, because a lot of the cave divers don't want, for the safety of others, to let on where these places are. Some of them have signs and some don't, but they're not readily noticeable. They're not great big national park signs and things like that. So we were headed out, and I noticed the back of a farmer's barn in a small field and pointed out these objects that were kind of different from any crafts or UFOs or anything like that that we'd seen before, because we'd had a few sightings. It was broad daylight, early morning, sun was bright, and they were very oddly shaped. To me, they were almost wanting to be a diamond shape, except they had a flat base. The ones I saw were kind of covered with something, but you could see through it. And I pointed them out to him. He looked over, but before we had an opportunity to comment on them, we found ourselves on another road. We didn't know where we were, and we had to begin to figure out, not being that familiar with the area because we hadn't lived there, and we always went from the exact same motel that we always stayed in to point A, B, or C, depending on which sinkhole we wanted to dive in. So where were we? How did we get back to where we were going? There were no GPS systems back then that were used in our cars. And so we were quite a distance from where we wanted to be, had to figure it all out and go back. And I had been abducted, and this time we knew we didn't want to talk about it. We just said, it happened again, didn't it? We agreed that it had. And when I discovered what I had seen, that there had been some procedure done. Ed was willing to take a look. Kathleen helped him with it, and he was able to see an entity, a gray, put me back in the truck, except it didn't look like the majority of them. There were some differences, and Kathleen would have to explain that to you.
Yes, I'd be happy to do that.
Sure.
It was interesting to me that Ed and Denise found themselves 28 miles away from the location that they had been only a moment before. And I went up to this area, to Branford, Florida. I did an investigation. I drove around. The first thing that always came to my mind is, since this happened in the morning, were they tired? Did they take the wrong turn accidentally? I found out that they couldn't possibly have. Ed keeps very, very good notes. He had a log of that from that day, from that dive. He's very, very detailed, so he could tell me that it occurred on Sunday, October 20th, 1991, that it was the 23rd dive that year in that location, and he had even noted lost time in his log from that day. So I did hypnotize him again, and he said that suddenly everything became dark, and he sensed that he was in a vacuum. It was completely quiet. He found himself in an unfamiliar location, still in his truck, and Denise was no longer in the passenger seat. He shook his head, and he seemed bewildered, stating that something is not right, that it was dark, and it shouldn't have been dark. He began to hyperventilate under hypnosis and said, "How could we get there? How could we get here? This just isn't right." He then uttered a whoosh sound, indicating wonderment and surprise. He said that he saw the passenger door open, and a tall, thin figure, approximately 6 feet tall, with Denise in its long, skinny arms. It leaned down and literally dropped Denise onto the seat. The greenish-gray, non-human entity looked up at Ed. The eyes, he said, were actually paler than the skin, and the entire being had an opaque appearance, as if it was clothed in a full body suit. There was no mouth to speak of and no nose. The head was not large or bulbous like a typical gray. The entity closed the door, and Ed became fully aware of the surroundings. His arms were tingly, and he was frightened and hyperventilating. He realized that it was late and found that he was no longer on the road that he'd been traveling on. He attempted to identify the location, and then he saw a sign indicating Interstate 75 and Lake City were ahead. They were a full 28 miles from their previous location, and it seemed as if only a moment had passed. And Ed actually drew a sketch of the entity that he recalled as he was putting Denise back into the vehicle, and it is in our book. Quite interesting that his description was not the typical gray, was not the typical insectoid, that it was different, but it was identical to Denise's description.
Just a left field question, Kathleen. Are you aware of the viewpoints about abductions expressed by people like Jerome Clark?
I've read Jerry Clark's work. Can you refresh my memory?
Well, he's basically saying here that it is an experience or a set of experiences, but he doesn't relate them necessarily to the UFO enigma, if you get my point. That people are having unusual experiences, unusual encounters, and maybe they're not quite what you think they are.
Oh, okay. I've discussed this many, many times and have considered this as well, and perhaps this is true in some cases, but it is certainly not the case in Ed and Denise Stoner's report, where they have observed UFOs. They have observed in both cases, both in Colorado and in Florida, observing and being up close to these very strange objects, and then having a missing time event, and Denise remembering procedures that were performed on this craft. This was physical. In my investigation, I can only state that to the very best of my knowledge, it appears to have occurred. It appears to have been a real event, and it wasn't something that was an imaginary, and it wasn't something that was interdimensional. Denise certainly was not in bed when either of these experiences occurred. And I find this over and over again, just as we found in the case of my aunt and uncle, Betty and Barney Hill.
Okay, you say not interdimensional. How would you know? How would you know where these beings come from?
They're in structured craft.
Does that mean that you can't travel interdimensionally with structured craft then? How do you assume that?
It is possible that they can do that by increasing their vibrational level so that they can achieve invisibility and travel in that way, which you might say is interdimensional.
Aren't you making an assumption, though?
An astral plane, that these individuals appear not to be coming from an astral plane. They appear not to be coming into one's bedroom as a result of an out-of-body experience at night, that this appears to be physical. When they're here, they're in physical form. They're performing experiments on people. The craft is physical. It can be touched. It can be felt. It has a solid structure. The beings have a solid structure. And there are marks left on individuals' bodies. The implants have a solid structure.
I am not speaking of interdimensional as some kind of astral plane, but simply what some might regard as a parallel universe, and scientists are talking more and more about the possibility of there being multiple universes. Maybe you get the connection there. We have Denise Stoner and Kathleen Martin. The book is called The Alien Abduction Files. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Survivalists, for you, being prepared is more than just a precaution. It's a way of life. And now it's time to gear up at the Prepare to Endure Expo. Coming to the Kern County Fairgrounds in Bakersfield, California, Saturday and Sunday, June 8th and 9th. Together with the Wounded Heroes Fund and 511 Tactical, listen to nationally known speakers like Tim Ralston from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers and the survival bomb Lisa Bedford. Take a survival class and learn skills that can save a life and last forever. Check out the latest and greatest products at the Longevity booth and shop for deeply discounted survival gear and preparedness items from over 60 vendors. Visit preparetoendure.com. Active military and kids 16 and under are free, and your ticket is good for both days. If you and your family attend one event this year, this should be it. Survival favors the prepared, and the Prepare to Endure Expo will entertain and educate everyone in your family. Saturday and Sunday, June 8th and 9th at the Kern County Fairgrounds in Bakersfield, California. preparetoendure.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Amazon includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and .308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So what I was alluding to, Kathleen Martin, co-author of The Alien Abduction Files with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, not of an astral plane or a higher vibratory rate or any of that stuff.
Okay.
When I say interdimensional, I mean, well, you travel from one physical place to another, but it's not through space, but maybe through time, maybe to a parallel universe. Okay, so when you say it's not interdimensional, maybe we have to define our terms.
Yes. What I can say about that is I have spoken to some theoretical physicists about this, and I really am not sure. We have to keep our minds open to this. According to the work that was done on my Aunt Betty Hill's star map, it appears that these beings came from perhaps Zeta Reticuli, if that work is accurate today. So to say that it comes from a parallel universe, I can't say that in that particular case, because it appears to come from someplace in our own galaxy. I am familiar with the theory of a parallel universe, too. And, you know, perhaps it's a possibility for some of these entities.
You know, I have a comment here. I'm sorry to interrupt here, but, you know, that's we're looking at these things and taking the information that sometimes is imparted by these beings at face value. My latest book is called Stalking the Tricksters. And as we know, there is a certain tricksterish element to a lot of these types of events. And oftentimes it's difficult not to take some of the assertions by these beings at face value. How do we know they're not tricking us and trying to make it seem like they're coming from some other star system? Why do we trust what they tell us? In other words, there's a certain amount of wiggle room here, at least in my estimation. I would have a hard time believing any of these beings at their word. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that if we can't believe anything, and we can't trust our own eyes, and we can't trust that anything that anyone says is true, and we can't trust hypnosis, and we can't trust our own research, what can we trust, and why even engage in any of this? It makes no sense to me.
I'm not saying that we should not trust our own experiences in terms of whether they were real or not. Obviously, you know, I'm an experiencer. I had a very up close and personal encounter when I was 7 years old, and I'm to this day. I mean, that event happened to me. I was actually followed around my neighborhood. at 3 a.m. And it changed my life. And it was a very real experience. And I don't care what anybody says. I know it was. I even devised an experiment in the middle of it to try to ascertain what these beings were. What I'm suggesting is oftentimes these things cannot be taken, I think, at face value. You know, when they impart information to us, how do we know this isn't some sort of programming or some sort of agenda that involves misinformation?
Let me give you an example and a complaint that many of the experiencers who participated in our study made is that the ETs, for example, told them that they meant no harm. They said that they loved them, that they were part of their family, and many of these experiencers felt that they might be lying to them in order to control their behavior. So, you know, that's a possibility, and some people do trust their statements and other people don't. I can't state definitively whether they're lying or not. It is all a matter of an individual's perception.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we can only go on our gut feelings about a lot of things that happen to us in our lives that are inexplicable or difficult to assimilate. Denise, when did you decide to come forward with this this pattern of events that has occurred to you in your life? What prompted you to come forward, and who did you first contact?
Well, I had tested it just a little bit at my support group meetings because nothing had ever leaked at any of those meetings. I've always asked for respect when we told each other a little bit about ourselves and everybody shared. And I had mentioned a little bit about some of the things that had happened to me at those types of meetings and when I spoke a couple of times. I did it in a little bit of not humorous, but not quite so serious manner, and people really didn't grasp onto what I was saying. They didn't ask the right questions, so I thought, okay, I'm dropping it. I'm not getting any reaction at all. I don't know what they're thinking, so that's the end of it. Then, when I retired from the federal government after 20-plus years, and my husband had retired, and my dad was gone, and most of my family had passed on, and my mom was fine with what I wanted to do, I talked to Kathleen, she talked to me, and we didn't decide just based on one talk. And the publisher was asking that someone come out in order to publish this book. We needed to use a real name. So we went back and forth and talked about all the ramifications of doing this. And finally decided, okay, I'm just going to go for it. Whatever happens, happens. What's the big deal? I don't have to worry about a job and all these variety of things. Yeah, so we did it.
So what time frame was this? When did you actually go public with this information?
When we put the book out.
Okay, so this is recently then. We're talking just within the last
in
year
May.
Or so.
Yes.
So you've just been living with it all these years, and now you made the decision. Now that you've done it, you've gone and done it, did your friends know about this up till now or what?
Some did, some did not. I have a couple of people that have no idea, and they have ordered the book, so they are now finding out.
So you're someone they never expected to meet. What about your daughter?
She's fine with everything. She's just a really easygoing type person. And because she is mildly handicapped, she's worked for 20-plus years with a variety of people, and none of her friends are going to question her about any of this. I just know that. And she would take it so easy and off-the-cuff type thing that I'm not worried about her at all.
Any other members of your family who just learned about it, or were they part of it?
They were not a part of it. I'm the oldest of 13 cousins. There are 12 of us left. And my aunts and uncles are all gone, with the exception of one uncle. He's quite elderly. He was a scout for the Dodgers baseball team.
Oh.
I do not know if he'll read this or not. And if he does, he'll probably just kind of chuckle and say, okay, if that's what you say, that's the way he is.
as far as the media, newspapers, TV, radio stations, you getting a lot of response?
Nothing that I can see. It's very quiet, which is a little bit mysterious. So we're waiting for the next, I don't know if you want to call it bomb to drop or comments or whatever. We've had nothing negative, not so far.
So you're either waiting for the axe to fall or or just a calm response that people will take it in stride.
I'd like for people to take it and ask questions. If you have to know something, you want to know something, you question something, ask the source. Ask Kathleen, ask myself, find out what we had gone through. Because there are so many little aspects of this thing that could not be put in the book, and so many of the other portions of the book the same thing. For instance, you can have flashbacks about things that have happened to you. I have trouble in an MRI machine because the sound reminds me of something about the craft. I went into an MRI machine and the two techs standing at the end of it immediately morphed into these characters, these ETs. An ET and an insectoid were now standing at the base of this MRI machine. And it just absolutely drove me bananas. I never let on what I was seeing and hearing, but I thought I was in the craft briefly.
It's like having a flashback.
Yes, and I realized that's what was happening to my mind, that it was another recall situation.
Has that been happening every so often, that suddenly you flash back to something that seemed to have happened during one of those abductions?
That was the most vivid, and I realized also it had something to do with that sound being so, so real, and perhaps because I was shown the core of one of the crafts and had a physical reaction to it, that's probably why the MRI caused that to happen.
With Gene and Chris, so much more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple. A case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.